I don't have a number.
The appraised value on your card was incorrect.
Yeah.
It's actually a lower figure. It's 480,220. After the impact notices went out, there was a mandated downward or a reduction.
Mm.
And so that was across the state, I think you said?
Or no, just, the assessor took
just ports, specifically Taney County.
No, we had revalued land across the county, and it had skewed everything so far that I brought the indexes down so as not to bankrupt people.
So it's 480,220.
Yeah, 480,220.
Okay.
And the reason your number would be different from your impact notice.
Do you have benchmarks or anything, like appraisal benchmarks, I'm in lending, so I know enough to be dangerous, but
right.
We have appraisal benchmarks that have, you know, in our territory. So let's say we're 40 counties in Missouri or whatever, and we'll have a benchmark for Southwest Missouri. We'll have a benchmark for Northwest Missouri or Central Missouri, and we kind of use that benchmark, and then the appraised value of that land, gets with the cost, that neighbor that are like kind properties, and it kind of tracks the impact or the value of the increase. But one of the questions I was thinking, I don't know about Missouri, but I know some of our neighboring states, they have laws that are set up to where your property tax or your real estate tax can't go up a certain amount. I guess, do we not have that in Missouri?
There is a statute that indicates that if it goes up by more than 15%, your impact notice will tell you that you have a right to request an inspection of the interior. And but again, as we talked about at the beginning, I don't know that would have really changed. I don't think your appraised value is above market value in this case, but that's the only statute I'm aware of. We don't have any percentage increase. I mean, if ideally all counties are up to par, then that works pretty well. But when the counties, we have so many counties that are undervalued right now, you would basically be telling the assessors you can only go up 14.9% every year or something, whatever the figure may be. But that's something you have to ask the legislature to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, and back to my original comment, we paid. I don't have the numbers in front of me, details, but I can get pretty close. But it's when we had the lot, obviously, we improved a lot, and the last 2 years, the taxes have just doubled. I mean, honestly, from wherever we get today, still going to be high, but 24-23 is doubled, and the taxes is fine. I understand we have to pay taxes, but what we can't do is pay taxes that are egregious in terms of the value and the rate, but also I'm not getting the benefit of the value. So
unfortunately, the state has mandated this the fair market value, that's what the statute's reading currently. It's just that a lot of counties were just not following it. I think the assessor would like to have a comment or like to comment.
I know. That's not my fault, but
sure.
It does speak to the latitude of, the levity of the situation. It looks it's Branson Hills. They're good for it. We'll just take it.
I get it.
Over here.
We haven't noticed as a board that there's an intent to discriminate against any particular neighborhood or anything, but go ahead.
So I'd like to speak, if that's okay with you. I'm Susan Chapman. I'm your assessor. Taney County has been underassessed for decades. I ran for the office because I knew that we were really quite far off, and we started with the lower eastern side of the county. We've been sweeping across. I saved Branson for last, because in the past, it was about the only place that would ever get reassessed. It's close. There's a lot of sales, et cetera, et cetera. And so I didn't think it was fair that we reassessed immediately in Branson. But now we're there. And as you notice, we have gotten to Branson Hills, and they were not assessed correctly. They are too low in value. The state wants me to be between plus or minus 10% of the actual cash value, a little high when everybody else in the county isn't that high. And so, you know, I have a goal that's quite a bit under that, but so that everybody is equalized around the same percentage value. And then I will tell you, though, that when people are really underassessed, they never contact us to let us know that. And the people, you know, when you buy a property around here, they tell you, oh, don't send that sales letters in. It's a non-disclosure place. Well, not really. The state is not non-disclosure. It's just that you're not mandated to give that number, but St. Louis, Kansas City, those other places, they actually do have to disclose their values. So we're not really a non-disclosure state. People really should do this. And in order to make the county fair, that's what I've been trying to do. We're not like a lender where we get, like you might get reports with sales values and averages. We just have to go with the cost system we have and whatever sales letters that we do get. And then we can also look at the internet, you know, when you're looking at things. And obviously it's not for what it's listed at, but people are typically not listing at twice the amount that something's worth. So we can get pretty close in value. But again, we're still low, I'm sorry to tell you that, in Branson Hills. But you're going to be in the same area that we've been doing all across the county.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, now my only comment was, you know, just in response to, you know, folks typically don't, you know, give the value, you know, if...
call up and say I'm underassessed.
Yeah, but, you know, the flip side of that is also, you know, our taxes don't go down if real estate values decline or the housing market crashes or, you know, and that happens. I mean, it ebbs and flows. It really does, honestly. And I think, you know, I don't, you know, just my expertise in the 25 years in lending, I've seen this market before. I don't know that these housing, I don't think the housing market is going to be good for a while. And, you know, I think that's another thing to consider and study too, because, you know, taxes are something that never honestly go away, but they also don't go down. If my value goes down, then that would be the case if, you know, I lived here for 20 years or 2 years, but, I mean, I know it's a tough job, and I know it's a tough proposal, and I know there's hundreds or probably thousands of different gyrations. But I just, you know, from my seat, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, and it's a tough pill to make sense or logic, you know, when it says that, you know, my change is going to be 40%, and I know the value of my house and other homes in this neighborhood have not benefited from that. That's what I'm saying.
So when you figure on trying to figure out how to do Branson Hills, and you know that the houses are around 50% or possibly a little less of what their real value is for when they sell. So then if you go across and you try to get close to the 70% mark, that keeps it safer. If the market starts to drop, you got 30% it can drop before we get into territory where we're overvalued. And again, that's what I've tried to do across the county. I'm not trying to get up to the top because, as you have pointed out, things can fall. And I also don't believe that people should have to have their taxes keep going up when the market's falling. But you need to ask these questions because the assessor only sets your value. Your levy is set by the taxing entities. And the one big one, if you look on the right side of your bill, there's a one that's like 85% of your bill. And I've spoken to them. Why is it you have less students year after year, but your levy keeps going up? And they're just like, well, we have to go through attrition. We can't go firing people. Well, that's who you need to talk to. You need to really watch those people who are setting your levy and really put your thumb on them and say, hey, you know, the rest of us have businesses. We don't have that luxury of keeping a load of people on if we can't make the payroll. And that's my speech for today. Thank you.
Okay. Well, and part of the reason I've let you guys go is I want you to be able to say what you want to say, Charlie. We're broadcast live on the internet as well. I don't know how many people are actually listening, but a fair amount. So, you know, I want to make sure that the taxpayer and the assessor's office gets to have their say. But in just respect to this particular property, 396, is there a motion on this one?
I would make a motion to deny valuation.
Okay, and to be clear, we're talking about a valuation of 482.20.
Correct.
Okay. It's been a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, Charlie, you'll get a decision within a couple of days. If you feel that it's not appropriate, then you can go to the State Tax Commission. The instructions will be on there. And, of course, we greatly appreciate you owning in Taney County. We hope that, you know.
Before you hang up, Mr. McConnell, if you look at Beacon, there's new features where you can check out the price per square foot on your house compared to your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And price per square foot of land or the land value, depending on which way it's located. So all those were added so that now you can do a better comparison and contact your assessor. Thank you.
All right. If I didn't say, motion passes to deny, and the decision will go out in a couple of days. We do appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We're going to go to BOE. Looks like 397 and 398 are owned by the same?
Yes.
These are the only two as far as we know?
As far as I can see.
Hello?
Yes, is this Eddie?
Yes, sir. This is Eddie Cook.
Eddie, David Akers from Taney County Board of Equalization. Eddie, we've got a couple of your appeals on the docket today. With respect to, you've got 275 Frond Drive and 130 Candy or Rock Candy Lane. Are these both nightly rental properties?
So, well, let me begin. I'm Eddie Cook. I'm an active duty Army officer. I'm actually a chaplain stationed in Northern Virginia. I purchased these properties after deployment to Iraq as a vacation place for my family, and while I was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And then as we were there and moved along with the military, we hired a property manager. So to answer your question, it's open. My property manager will rent it long-term or short-term, either. And so my first piece of the discussion that I was writing this on was to propose that this is being used for residential purposes, not for commercial purposes, for residential living. And then specifically, I have two properties, and they're both being at the 100% commercial rate, taxed at 100% commercial for both. And the first piece of the discrimination that I listed is even the others that are 100% short-term, they get a break on one of their properties, and I'm paying 100% on both of them.
Okay, Eddie, let me try to help and see if this will help you. The assessor, like many assessors in the state, believes all nightly rental properties to be commercial classification. However, we as the Board of Equalization, which is a citizen board that hears appeals on taxes, about 4 years ago, at least with respect to property in Taney County, made a decision in which if you have one property in Taney County that is put in a nightly rental program on the first one or your choice of one, usually the one of higher value, I assume, we'll give a break on the first one because we assume personal use as well, and we do 25% commercial, 75% residential. And then on any other properties that are put in a nightly rental program, those remain 100% commercial. So in your particular case, I would assume that the Frond Drive would be the one you would select. We would classify that as 75% residential and 25% commercial, and then the Rock Candy Lane would stay 100% commercial. that would be consistent